And we love our pastor, Scott, too. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for gathering us together tonight to hear your word, Lord. And Lord, we lift up. We lift up our family and our friends, the Warren family, that, Lord, they're in your hands, Lord. And I know I prayed about this, Lord, already, and you told me that I would see the glory of God in this situation. And Lord, we expect to see this. However you see fit, Lord, your will be done. And Lord, bless your word as it goes forth tonight. In Jesus we pray, amen. Whew. Feeling inadequate with this message. So we're going to look at some of the follow me's in the scripture. And Peter's a great example of it. Jesus tells him a few times to follow me. But first I want to start in Ephesians 1. You can turn there. I'm going to try a modified, compressed version of Ephesians verses. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 23. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. He chose us in him to be before him in love to himself, to the pleasure of his will by his grace. He made us accepted and beloved. In him we have redemption according to his grace. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that he might gather all of him in himself. In him we have an inheritance according to his purpose of his will. In him we trust, in him we believe, in the truth of his gospel of salvation. In him we are sealed with him. In him is our guarantee of his redeemed work of the cross, that he may give to us the wisdom and knowledge of himself, that he is the hope of his calling towards us, his inheritance that he has for us, by the greatness of his power towards us by his mighty power, which he worked in him when he raised him and seated him in the heavenly places at the right hand of himself. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, in fullness of him who fills all in all. I read this and that's all I see is he, him, he, and him. And there's a lot of important words I left out of there. But the point of this is that it's literally all about Christ. Our whole lives, our whole walk, if you read these verses carefully, you see it. The only reason we're mentioning there is because of him. In this life that we have hidden in him, it's about Jesus, and this is where our occupation needs to be. If you're occupied with Christ, you can't be occupied with yourself. I notice more and more every time I step out of the spirit and into my flesh, it's because I'm occupied with myself and not him. If I would go to these verses and have him recall these to me, I'd be right back in the spirit because I know it's not about me. This walk we have, it's so crucial that we understand that it is not about us. And the truth is, it is no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. But we all too often grieve the Holy Spirit, forgetting this, not believing it. Because we always do what we believe. By listening to that Absalom that I talked about last week, saying, you're right. Do it your way. I agree with you. And if it's about him, for him, through him, by him, that we have this resurrection life, why do we so easily fall into the snares of the devil? Again, it's because we make it about us. And we have to stop making it about us. And when we make it about us, we cannot and will not accept the call to follow me, as we're going to look at tonight. Follow me, he says over and over. Follow me, follow me. And if we're looking at ourselves and how the world treats us and how the people treat us in our lives, we're not going to be followers of Christ. John 12:23-26. We're going to start with this one. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man may be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." To follow Christ, we need to die. To be a follower of Christ, you need to learn how to die to yourself. If you're in your Christian walk and you don't realize that this is one of the crucial things that you're learning, you're probably not doing it right. Because every time I have an issue and I fall short, it's because Greg is not willing to die to myself. And also here, so if it remains alone, but if it dies, it produces much grain. In our death, our co-crucifixion with Christ, when we die to our wants, our needs, our desires, this is where the fruit of the Spirit is produced into our life multiple times. And also here, he says, "Let him follow me, for where I am, there my servant will be also." So where is Christ? Ephesians 2:6 said, "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus." And I ask you right now, where are you? When you go through your day-to-day life, do you see yourself seated in Christ? Or are you driving to work, doing the same thing over and over, the mundaneness. I will just make up words. I'm allowed to do that. I butcher the English language. Not physically, but spiritually. The unseen reality is this is where we are hidden in Christ. Now we have a choice to be there, or we have a choice to be here on earth in our flesh. Seated at the right hand of the Father. And if you're walking in faith, then this is your position. And is your position seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ being manifested into your mortal bodies? Or is your fleshly, self-centered Christian lifestyle denying this position? We as Christians are the only ones that can be guilty of this. Unbelievers can't be. They're not in Christ seated in the heavenlies. Seated in his rest. It is said, spoken in a certain place on the seventh day in this way, "And God rested on the seventh day from all his works." Hebrews 4:4. Hebrews 4:3. "For we who have believed do enter that rest. For he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." If we're not walking in faith, hope, and love, doing the right things in the right way for the right reason. Did I get that right? Yeah, that's it. We have not entered this rest. We're not seated. I mean, we are seated in the heavenlies, but we have to be positioned there. We have to know where we're at. And we can't work to get to this place. Can't do a bunch of good things. We're not good enough to balance the scales of justice. Only Christ could do that. I was talking to Mom recently, too, about forgiveness. And it's for me to forgive of my own, from myself, is making a mockery of the cross. Like, my forgiveness is good enough to balance the scales of justice of sin in human life. Like, oh, I forgave them. You know, forgiveness is for you. No, forgiveness is from Christ. Christ alone. It's the only forgiveness that has any value. And we who do believe, we are already there in Christ, looking to the unseen realities of the scriptures. And we can be just like Abraham, who did not consider himself to be 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. For he believed God's promise to him of the promised seed Jesus that would be given. Romans 4:19. And we cannot look to our circumstances with our understanding and expect the circumstances to change so that we can see ourselves in Christ. It just doesn't work that way. We have to first see ourselves in Christ, seated in the heavenly realms, and then we will be changed in the same circumstances that we're going through. So often I want the circumstances to change. Then, Lord, then I'll be okay, or then I won't have to deal with this. But no, it's right here and now. Salvation is now. Salvation is today. So, follow me, he commands. Follow me, he says, contrary to your own reason and understanding. For he says, his ways are higher than our ways. Follow me. And Peter is a wonderful example we have to study, to learn from, in the follow me's that we're going to look at tonight, that Jesus has called to each and every one of us. And it's our choice whether we answer this call. God will not force us to follow him into resurrection life here on earth. Like we just read, that seed needs to fall to the ground and die so that it will produce much fruit. In the moment we receive Christ, we receive eternal life. In the moment we receive Jesus, he has not stopped through his word calling out to us to follow him. And that is through his word. There's no other way, people. There's no other way. It saddens me to see Christians that don't take the word of God seriously. It really does. This is something we need more than the food that we eat. This is how it should be. It should be the number one priority in your life. Every day, is it the number one priority? Can't wake up to read the word? It's the first thing I want to do. I got to read my psalm. That's partially in thanks to Ty. In 20 years, I expect him to know him as well as he does. I hope you guys do. And God's not impressed with our ideas how we serve him. He's only satisfied by his son in whom he is well pleased. And his son is the word of God. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. And we can get so wrapped up in this life, we are called to hate, that it chokes out the word. Matthew 4:19. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in and choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. In John chapter 13, verses 36 through 38, we have another follow me. This is where Peter says, Lord, I will follow you. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Jesus says, you cannot follow me now, Peter, for I haven't gone yet. For only I can do the work of the Father who has sent me. But afterwards, when I yell the three words, it is finished, then you can follow me. So in Luke chapter 22, we have another one. This is Peter following. So the first example where God's going to have to correct him. Oh, Peter, you're going to do that for me? No, Peter, you're going to deny me. And then Peter here in Luke 22, verse 54, when Jesus was arrested, they led Jesus and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. I don't know whether to condemn or encourage Peter in this. Because he was still following his Savior, but he followed at a distance. And I see the distant following can cause a lot of problems, but I still love that he was following him. Though he was terrified, though he was scared, though he didn't know what was going to happen, he was still waiting to see. He was still following Christ. So like I said, I'm probably going to talk out of both sides of my mouth with these thoughts. And also, I hear in recovery that they have the relapse before the relapse. You make them small compromises that end up leading to a big mistake. And I see Peter here, like I said, I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth with this one. He followed at a distance. This was a small compromise. He was not bold at this point. The denial before the denial. Peter followed at a distance. It immediately precedes Peter's arrival into the courtyard and his three denials of Christ as the Savior. And like I said, Peter was still following him. And I can almost sense the fear and confusion on him in this distant following. And I can relate to this pretty well, this following Jesus at a distance. And like Peter, he will bring me to, he has, and I expect him to continue to bring me to a place where the rooster crows. It was Jesus was the word. Jesus spoke this to Peter, and then Peter heard Jesus' word through a rooster crow. Has this ever happened to you? Have you ever been on a path leading the wrong way, in the wrong direction, and you heard the rooster crow? You heard the words of God speak to you directly? I know I have, and I expect him to continue to do this in my life when I go astray, when I start following at a distance. There he has made me weep and shows me what I am apart from him and how weak I am when I follow at a distance. But Peter was still following him. Like I said, I don't know how to teach this. Afterwards, that was Christ's command to Peter. Follow me. After all, he started. The first command that Jesus gave to Peter was, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. Follow me, Peter. You're not going to understand it. You're going to make a lot of mistakes. But you continue to follow me, and I will finish the work that I started in you. And Jesus knew Peter would deny him, but he also knew he would follow him, even if it was at a distance for a time. Can we learn like Peter? Can we recognize the pain of remorse given to us in these situations to show us that maybe we're following at a distance? Thankfully, we can learn from the Word of God. We can learn from Peter so we don't have to make these same mistakes. Yeah, and simply following him, whether at a distance or close by, Jesus was making Peter into the spiritual man that he was meant to be. His failures were turned into godly sorrow, which turned into true repentance. We must keep following him through his word and trust his process. Our failures are also aligned to teach us and that he will make us the man or woman he has meant us to be, not the man or woman we think we can be for him. And we learned this from Peter, because Peter thought he was the man that God wanted him to be. And I can see clearly where I've lived in the denials before the denials. Where I fall at a distance to find comforts for my flesh, which it would have led me to spiritual death. And if it hadn't been for that rooster's crow, if it hadn't been for the word of God that I have inside me for him to bring back to my recollection through things that weren't the word of God. But when things that were said to me at certain times, I heard the word of God. And in Hebrews 13:5. That I will never leave you or forsake you. I find so much comfort in that, because I screw up daily. But I know that it is him that will never leave me or forsake me. It is him, the reason why I have the life that I have in him. So where in your life are you following at a distance? Still waiting to see what's going to happen. Well, Lord, I'll trust you when I can see it. And these things were written so we may not follow in that way. Unlike Peter, we know the outcomes of the cross. When Peter followed at a distance, he didn't know what was happening. We know what was happening, and we know the victory that's been given to us. And therefore, we come boldly to the throne room of grace. So like I said, there's the first, follow me. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. Matthew 4:18-20. And Peter is here. And I love that too. Immediately left their nets. They left their well-being. They left the way they were going to support their family. When Peter was told by Christ to follow me this time, Peter had no idea. All he knew that this was the Savior. I don't know if it's been revealed by the Father in heaven yet, but he knew that he was a prophet. I'm really going to go off on a tangent here because I don't know what I'm even coming out of my mouth. But at this time, when Jesus said to follow me, he just dropped everything and went. He didn't understand at that time. Then we have after the resurrection in John 21:18-19. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to Peter, "Follow me." This time, this "follow me" was very personal. He has the resurrected Christ. He knows that he is the Son of God. He knows that Jesus is God. And this "follow me" would lead to his death. It would mean that Peter would have no consideration for his own person, that he would follow him somewhere he never would have chosen for himself. Where are you at in life right now? Did you make all the choices to get where you're at? Everyone, Dad? Everyone? Absolutely not. He gets us where he needs us to get. And verses 20 and 22, we have another one. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, John, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remains till I come, what is it to you? You follow me." And this "follow me" to me speaks of the personal relationship we have with Christ. Jesus already told Peter he would die following him. And now it tells him he does not matter how God deals with anybody else. Your job is to follow me. And to me, this speaks of that, I don't know if you can relate to that, that singular devotion you have to following him. Doesn't matter if I'm surrounded by good or evil or bad or right or wrong. I have a singular devotion to the Lord. And that's where my foundation is. And this is what he's saying. Don't worry about anybody else. Though we are to bear each other's burdens, each one will carry his own load. And if I will that God, someone else would not see death, it has nothing to do with you, Peter. He was just to follow him. And no one else, with no comparisons, how God deals with somebody else. And all three of these "follow me's," Peter would have to trust Christ, having no clear definition as to where any of them would lead him. "I will make you fishers of men. Follow me somewhere you would not want to go. And finally, follow me and me alone. Don't worry about anyone else." And how easy is it for me for God to explain to me the who's, the whys, and the what's? Where his command is, "Follow me and I will. ... Follow me and I will." Yeah, but Lord, why is this happening? He answers these questions for us one way or the other. But our job is to follow him. The agreement is to follow him without question as he commands, knowing that we have a good shepherd that will lead us. "For it is him or her that follows Jesus that the Father will honor," like we read in John 12:26. And Lord, help us when we're weak and ask for explanation from you. Help us to trust that in following you, we'll be positioned to glorify you. Without question, Lord, help us to follow you. So we have these examples from Peter. And then we have Jesus and what he says about it. Matthew, Luke, and Mark pretty much all say the exact same thing. "Then Jesus said to the disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, if anyone desires to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.' Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.' Matthew 8:34. When he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, 'Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" Seems pretty crucial here. If you desire to come after him, you have to be able to deny yourself. Just be that seed that dies in the ground. And when we deny ourselves, we die to ourselves. Luke 14:27, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Verse 33, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." You hear the word disciple thrown around often. These are big. He's asking a lot. Too much is given, as much is required. He's asking for our lives in the entirety, not part of it. Take this seriously. I'm telling you this with full confidence of Scripture, that if we are not dying to self, we are not following Christ. I'll say it again. If you're not dying to yourself, you're not following Christ. That's what Jesus says. Denying yourself, dying to self. And I get it wrong all the time, but I still know that's the lesson I have to learn every time. It's never the external situations that I get to blame for my shortcomings. Where won't I die, Lord? Where won't you die yet? Search us, Lord. Where is the pride? Even in following you in my Christian walk. Do you have any of that in your life? I know I do. What about selfish ambition in your life? And self-seeking? The word says all evil is present in self-seeking and envy. So if you're a self-seeker, you want this life to be about you. You're halfway there to having all evil there. And if we aren't dying to self, we lie to ourselves in saying that we're true followers of Christ. So what truths from the word are you not accepting? Or even worse, do you not know the word well enough to know the truths about who you are? Because the word reads all men. It has read all of us very clearly. And women. Sorry if I use that too much. These truths who reveal, that reveal to each and every one of us who we are apart from Christ. The word says that we have deceitful and wicked hearts. The word says that we suppress the truth and go our own way. The word says we love darkness rather than light. The word says we are not willing. The word says we nullify the word of God. The word says we have passions at war within us. Here's a scary one. And the word says that we will not tolerate sound doctrine, but with itchy ears gather around us teachers to suit our own desires. Do you know this about yourself from the Word of God, revealed by the Word of God? To not desire this Word. I saw that too. You're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. You're in need of nothing. I'll spew you out of my mouth. If you don't know that you need the Word, you're lukewarm. You're a Christian that doesn't desire the Word of God every day of their life. You're lukewarm because you're in need of nothing. Because there's only one thing that we should need, and that's the Word of God. And if you don't need the word like it depends on it, you don't realize you need the word. Oh, yeah, I just said all this. I guess you're in need of nothing. In Hebrews 1, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Again, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. This is how he speaks to us. How long-suffering is he towards us? I know he's done it for me for many, many years. So we have some more following you, following the Lord examples. I want to follow you, but... Oh, Lord, I'll follow you, but this, but that. We have the rich young ruler. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Here, the question was so wrong. What should I do? What good things should I do to inherit eternal life? So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come, follow me. But when the young man heard this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Like I said, Lord, I want to follow you, but not that, not the riches that I have, not my money. I don't want to give that up. That's my security. Not my right to myself, Lord. I want to follow you, but not that. I'm not willing to give that up. What about, I want to follow you, Lord, but I can't consider that person greater than myself. To serve them, they don't deserve it. You know, well, I want to help people that want to help themselves. Ugh. What if God did that for you, for us, anybody in this room, waiting for you to help yourself before he decided to help you, before he died for your sins? For while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Yeah, Lord, I want to follow you, but not that one person. I want to follow you, Lord, but my common sense tells what my common sense tells me about this situation won't let me trust you completely, because common sense is there. Lord, I can't see a way. And like that rich young ruler, that like mom's taught on to, this is his identity. This is who he was. I mean, they didn't give him a name. He was, and what Scott thinks it might have been Saul. I like the theory. Anyway, yeah, Lord, I'll follow you. And then we go away sorrowful. And what about John chapter 6? They stopped following him and walked with him no more. Jesus said, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. He who feeds on me will live because of me. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? And I get hearing these words. It might be hard to understand and accept. There is plenty of things in the Bible. I used to avoid whole chapters because they were hard for me to accept. But because of that, hard to accept and understand. Like Scott says, just believe it. Whether you understand it or not, believe it, because it's the word of God. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And Jesus said to the 12, do you also... want to go away? That's the rooster I heard crow in my life. Servant of the Lord addressed me with something I was doing wrong. I didn't hear a rooster crow. I didn't even hear these words at the time, but I did. It was the word of God speaking through a servant of God to me to correct me, to bring sorrow into my life so that I can repent from a situation. How important it is to have this word in you. Have you ever heard your Savior's still small voice asking you? You don't want to leave me also, do you? With these things that are hard to accept from my truth and my word. There's plenty of things hard to accept in the word of God. Because I have to die to myself. I have to give up my right to myself. And like the disciples that went back and walked with him no more, do we not do the same thing when we say, Lord, I'll follow you, but that thing's hard to accept. I'm not willing to do that yet, Lord. Or I still have to first go do this before I'm really ready to commit myself to you. And then Simon Peter, love Simon. Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Like I said, I will follow you, but. Luke 9, verses 57 through 62. There's a bunch of I'll follow you, but, Lord. I got to do this first, Lord. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Sounds like our boy Peter, doesn't it? I'll do wherever you go, Lord, I'm going. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But that man said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And when I read this time, it took me directly to Elisha. And 1 Kings chapter 19. I mean, if you want symbolization of not putting your hand to the plow, putting your hand to the plow and looking back, this is a great picture of that. So we have Elijah in 1 Kings 19, who just fled from Jezebel at a pretty rough part in his life, I believe. Yeah. And Elijah said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you have arrived, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, you shall appoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And Elijah said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. I mean, he burned his livelihood. This is what he did. And the call from Elijah to Elisha. And I really like how he say Elijah. He said, well, let me go kiss my father and my mother. And we read about let the dead bury the dead. And you pointed this out to me. It's not the same. When he said, let me go kiss, this wasn't an earthly attachment. Let me just say goodbye. But I love Elijah's response. He said, do what you want to do. Go ahead. What's the difference to me? You do what you want to do. This is what the Lord says. He says, follow me, but you can do what you want to do. And he didn't accept that. He said, okay, no, I want to follow you. So I will burn all these things. I will sacrifice them and feed them to the people. So I have nothing to turn back to. He burned it all. And I love the determination of Elisha. And a couple chapters in the 2 Kings chapter 2. So if that's not determination, I don't know what is. I'll burn it all to follow you, Lord. Everything I had, I'll count as loss so I can follow you, Lord. And in chapter 2, Elijah, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up into heaven, Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. I will follow you. So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from you today? And he said, yes, I know. Shut up. Keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from you today? So he answered, yes, I know. Shut up. Keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. I just love his determination. Elijah's saying, please stay here. I got to go do this. And he's like, no, I became your servant and I'm going to follow you. I'm going where you go. And we are to do the same thing with the Lord. And then just to wrap it up, I guess, Terry brought up the awl, the puncture tool that you can use to scratch things and punch leather and wood. Right, Dad? Is that what an awl is used for? Yeah. In Exodus 21, 5 and 6, it talks about a servant not wanting to leave his master. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door and to the doorpost. And his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. This is a man that was working off to pay his debt with his family. And he loved how the master treated him so much. He said, I'm not going anywhere. And they did this. I don't know the significance of this, but they pierced his ear with an awl to the door. In 1 Corinthians 7:22 and 23, for he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves to men. So we've been bought from the slave market of sin, having been a slave to sin, and now have been set free by our master, Jesus. Are you willing to stay and have your ear nailed to the cross? Willing to pick up your cross daily, deny yourself because you love what your servant has done for you, your master has done for you, his servant. Do you love him that much? And the rich young ruler, we'll go back there. And those who heard it said, then who can be saved? He walked away sorrowful. It is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. Then who can be saved, Lord? But he said, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you, Lord. So he said to him, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parent or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. Follow me. Follow me, follow me. And in the areas that we're not, it came up in a conversation this morning. I don't know, you know, I got to reflect and think about why I do the things I do. You know, what were the things going on that made me make that bad choice? Answer was very clear. James 1, 13 through 15. In the areas that we're not following Christ, we're not tempted by God. We are tempted when we are drawn away by our own desires and enticed. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So just consider the stuff this week. Consider the Word of God and where it is in your life as a priority. Are you following Christ, or are you just a Christian doing their best? Yeah. All right, let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the message you brought forth tonight, Lord, and let us all take something home from this. And Lord, again, I lift up our pastor, his wife, and his two beautiful children as they're going through this difficult time. And Lord, though we're not with them in physical presence, we are there spiritually, Lord. And we expect you to do miraculous things. And Lord, bless the offering as it goes forth. Amen.